Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. Amen? We've been on a series called Justice, The Just Shall Live by Faith. And I've got a lot to cover this morning, so quickly update. We started talking about how we're excited about watching movies where the hero wins, where the victim gets things set right, and the underdog prevails because of their great effort. And so this is another word for justice. Justice. Justice is another word for righteousness. So we started with the word righteousness. So we talked about investigating righteousness. And what does righteousness mean? Well, it can also be translated as right, right standing, all right. Rightness, innocent, not wrong, meaning not guilty. Just, upright, lawful. Justify, justice, prosperity, to clear self and to make right. In his presence, we are clean in his eyes. Therefore, we can stand in God's presence without a sense of guilt or inferiority, as if sin never existed before. And scripture tells us that we are new creatures. When we got born again, we became new creatures in Christ, and that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ, that we have been justified or made righteous by faith. And we saw in, the Amplified says that we have been reconciled to God and restored to divine favor. In other words, God is not mad at us anymore. Amen? Hallelujah. Religion pushes us to act with a certain way, act right without being right. And we talked about that, how that's not the way God has set things up. He has made us right, the righteousness of God in Christ, so then we can now act right because we now have an inward change of heart and the renewing of our mind that reveals itself or manifests itself, or we can demonstrate this inward change with outward expression. And so that just brings us freedom from the whole push and the struggle of religion. We talked about the God of justice, how he said it's time to seek the Lord so he can come and rain righteousness on us. And so justice is God putting things right, setting things right, and making things right. Then last week we talked about vindication. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3, in the CJB it says, he will not snap off a broken reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. He will bring forth justice according to truth. The word vindicate means to clear of blame, to show or to prove to be right, innocent and not guilty, and justified. And so we see in Micah chapter 7, verse 9 in the CSB, it says, because I have sinned against him, I must endure the Lord's fury until he champions my cause and establishes justice for me. He will bring me into the light. I will see his salvation. And I made this declaration last week because according to the Word of God, Jesus has already now championed our cause through the death, burial, and resurrection. He has championed our cause and established justice for us by becoming our substitute and our redeemer, and is giving us salvation. The Lord is our vindicator and will vindicate us. Isaiah 66, verse 4 and 6 says this. Isaiah 66, 4 and 6. We'll just quickly go through a few verses to before we jump into experiencing justice. 66, verses 4 and 6 says this. So I will choose their delusion and bring their fears to them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear. They did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which to do. They chose that in which I do not delight. Hear the word of the Lord, you who tremble at his word. Your brethren who hated you cast you out for my name's sake, saying, "Let the Lord be glorified, that we may see your joy." But they shall be established. The sound of the noise from the city, and the voice of the temple, the voice of the Lord, who fully repays his enemies. And so we see here that even though he calls them brethren, he's literally talking about religious people always resisting the people of God. So we may have people in our family, and we have maybe people in relatives. We may have people that just live in the same town, live in the same city. They're just brethren. He's just talking about, listen, this is These are friends. These are relatives. These are, you know, people that you live around. He says religious people will always resist the people of God. And God said he will vindicate us and we will not be ashamed. He will vindicate us and not be ashamed. You see, when it comes to Israel, right, they had the 12 tribes. And so a tribe is called brethren, your family. I mean, it's just it's this large group. So you can have a tribe, the tribe of Judah, the tribe of Issachar. You could have the tribe and of Manasseh, and they were all brethren. But not all of them were serving God or walking with God. And so he said, listen, you got some people that are against you. And so that's what religious people are. You can get religious people that become a thorn in the flesh. Thorn in the flesh. But God said, listen, I will vindicate you. And you will not be ashamed. Psalm 10 says this. Psalm 10. And verses 17 and 18 says this. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their heart. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. So we see here the Lord hears the desires and prayers of the humble, those who depend on him, those who are trusting in him. He hears our prayers and our desire, and he's going to do what? He's going to vindicate the oppressed from the oppressor. Hallelujah. This is our God. This is our Father in heaven. Hallelujah. He hears us, and he will vindicate the oppressed from the oppressor. Remember Jesus, Acts 10:38 says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. The devil's the oppressor. And so if people are being oppressed with sickness and disease, if people are being oppressed with other things, God said, listen, I will vindicate the oppressed from the oppressor. Hallelujah. Vindication is for us. He is our vindicator. And I'm just going to quote this, but Luke chapter 18, we were talking about this. He hears our prayers and praise, the shout of faith and praise. Why? So he can avenge and vindicate us. And he said, Scripture says that faith is the connection to receiving our vindication. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 5, says this, the Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He never fails, but the unjust knows no shame. So we see here, what does he say? Morning by morning, he makes the sun to rise and reveals his justice, brings it to light. Morning by morning, he makes the sun to rise and reveals his justice. We'll read another verse that says the same thing, probably in a week or two. But the Lord is righteous in our midst. He does no unrighteousness, and every morning he brings his justice to light. He never fails. So, as sure as the rising of the sun, so sure is his vindication for us. Amen? He's working on our behalf. He's working on our behalf, glory to God. And he's, you know, wants us to continue to keep the door open. Remember we talked about keeping the door open? So he can come in and rain righteousness on us. We need to open the door so he can come in and rain righteousness on us. Set things right, put things right, make things right. So now we want to talk about experiencing justice. Action steps of lifestyle for us to experience justice and to be vindicated. So apparently then justice is not automatic. It doesn't just happen, right? It doesn't just happen. So 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says this. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are a chosen generation. We are a royal priesthood. and we are to proclaim and make him known. Malachi chapter 2, verse 6 says this, and I'm just going to read this out of the voice translation. Malachi 2, 6 says, he, Levi, so he was a priest, right? Levi, the tribe of Levi, priest, high priest, he spoke. And so we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so that's what I'm trying to make this connection here. This is what Levi did. And we as a royal priesthood, a holy nation, we can do the same thing and get the same results. Levi spoke the law of truth, and falseness was not found on his lips. In peace and justice, he walked with me, the Lord said, and he turned many from iniquity by his words and his example. So we have a part to play in justice. And so we can see here how God said, Levi spoke the law in truth. He spoke the truth. He spoke the word of God in truth. We can do that. As a holy nation, as a royal priesthood, we can proclaim him. We can make him known. So what do? We speak the word in truth. We speak the truth of God's word. And he says, in peace and justice, he walked with me. We too can walk with God in peace and justice. Amen? We walk with him according to his word. Matter of fact, we can walk with him in peace because we already found out that we have been justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We can walk with him in peace and justice, just as Levi did. Hallelujah. And we can turn many from iniquity by our words and our example. We're a witness. We're a demonstration. We can be an example to those around us. Some people might say, well, I didn't ask to be an example. We are. Whether we ask to be an example or not, right? People are looking at us, and they are making choices in their lives based on what we do. You know, there's some celebrities that say, I didn't ask to be an example because they're a bad example, you know? Musicians, I didn't ask to be an example. Well, then quit doing what you're doing and go work at McDonald's. Go work somewhere else. Because the fact of the matter is, you are famous and people are using you. You are an example. You're an example. So we too are an example. Our influence, we influence others. So let's go ahead and just be a positive example. Let's be men and women of God. Hallelujah. We can speak the truth, and we can walk with God in justice and peace, and we can turn others from iniquity by our words and by our example. We can be a light. That's what Jesus said. We are lights. Amen? Hallelujah. We reflect him wherever we go. Luke chapter 18, just again a reminder, what would it say? Experiencing the justice. How can we experience justice? He said through the shout of faith and praise. Right? Through the shout of faith and praise. So I don't want to take the time to go through that verses 1 to 8 again, but we've heard that many times and we'll continue to hear it many times, but I just want to remind us, that's what Jesus was saying. Listen, it's through the shout of faith and praise that opens the door and keeps the door open for God to set things right, put things right, and make things right in our life. Vindication and justice. Hallelujah. Hosea chapter 10. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 2. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 2. I'm just going to quote this because this is what we read. Well, this is, as a matter of fact, I can probably even go back. Hosea 10. Oh, it's verse 12. Verse 12. Hosea 10, verse 12 says, seek. It's time to seek the Lord so he can come and rain righteousness on us. It's time to seek. Remember one of those words, one of the words for seek is to follow? To follow. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs 8 and verse 18 to 20. Yeah, we might as well back up to verse 17. God says, listen, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Those who seek me, those who worship me, those who inquire, those who follow me, right, will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue is better than choice silver. I traverse. The word traverse means to walk and to follow, or walk and to lead. I traverse. I walk and I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries or their bank accounts. So he says, listen, I traverse, I walk, or I lead in the way of righteousness. I lead in the way or the path that is right. I lead and I way and I walk and I travel on this way, this path of prosperity. In the midst of the paths. So he says, listen, this is the road I travel on. The road I travel on is the way of righteousness. It's the way of right. It's the way of prosperity. It's a way of innocence. It's a way in the midst of the paths of justice. And justice is based on that word is divine law. Justice. Justice. There is no justice without law. Right? Of what's right and wrong. We can't have justice if we don't know what's right and what's wrong. And so he says, listen, I walk and I lead on the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. In other words, if he's leading, he's expecting someone to follow. Right? You can't lead and you're not leading if no one's following. If no one's following, you're just walking. But the fact that he says, listen, I lead, not only is he walking, this is the road he walks, but he's expecting followers because he said, I lead. I'm leading. I'm leading. Follow me. Follow me. Come on. Follow me. I'm going to lead you in the path of righteousness. I'm going to lead you in the way of justice. So that I may cause you, what? You who love me to inherit wealth, to occupy, to have, and to possess wealth. So that I may fill your treasuries. But in order for him to do that, we're going to have to follow him. Amen? We have to follow him. In order to enjoy his results, we need to follow him. His leading is so we can follow him. Hallelujah. And he's walking in the paths of justice. We want justice. Lord, I want you to set things right, put things right, make things right. Then follow me, he says. Follow me. Glory to God. Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43, verse 26. Isaiah 43, 26. Isaiah 43. Hallelujah. This is the chapter where he says, listen. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Right? A new road in the wilderness, new rivers in the desert for us. Glory to God. Verse 26 says this. He says, put me in remembrance. Verse 25, it says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, that I will not remember your sins. He says, so verse 26, put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted or vindicated. See, the CSB says this, remind me. Let's argue the case together. Recount the facts so that you may be vindicated. Vindicated. New King James says acquitted. CSB says vindicated. The CEB translation says this, summon me and let us go to trial together. You tell your story so that you may be vindicated. We're talking about being vindicated. What does that mean again? It means to be cleared of blame. It means that he's going to show, prove us to be right, innocent, and not guilty. He's going to justify us. That's what we're talking about, justice. Justice, where he sets things right, puts things right, and makes things right in our life. And this is what he said. This is one of the ways. How can we experience justice? This is one of the ways, he says right here. We need to come to him. He says, listen, put me in remembrance. Remind me. Remind me of what? Remind me of my word. He says, remind me of what I said. Put me in remembrance of my word. Remind me of my word. Right? So we remind him. Say, Lord, this is what you said. And when we talk about thanksgiving, confessing, offering the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, confessing what he said, saying what he says. We're reminding him of what he said. Lord, this is what you said. Because we're in court. He's the just judge of all the earth. We are in court. And he says, I want you to remind me of my word. I want you to bring my word up. Bring my word up to me. So we're not just telling our story, but we're reminding him of what he said. And then our story would be, Lord, you said, and that's what I did. You said, that's what I did. You said, that's what I'm doing. You said, that's what I'm doing. We're reminding him. We're pleading our cause, our case. Contending together. He says, remind me of the word. Tell your story. Recount the facts of our doing the word. Why? So he can vindicate us. So he can bring things, cause things, set things right for us. Justice. Justice. So this is another key. This is another action step of lifestyle for us to experience justice in our lives. Remind me. Put me in remembrance of my word. It's not that God forgot it. He's wanting to make sure he wants to make sure we know it. And we're reminding him of what he said, that we're actually walking and following him. Lord, I'm following you. You said this, I'm doing this. Amen? Remind me of my word. Remind me of my word. Put me in remembrance. Hallelujah. Because he said the verse before, he says, listen, your transgressions, I'm not even going to remember. So now you need to tell me what I'm supposed to remember. The slate is clean. Tell him what he said. Don't tell him about your past. Oh, Lord, I did this and I did that. And oh, I don't know why. I wouldn't do anything. I wouldn't do anything good for me either. That's not what he wants to hear. He says, listen, I've blotted out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will remember your sins no more. So now put me in remembrance. Tell me what you want. Put me in remembrance, what, of his word. State your case that you may be vindicated. So, he wants to do a new thing. He's making new roads, new rivers. So let's quit bringing up the past and the way things have happened before. Let's remind him of his word so he can do justice in our lives. Amen? So, Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Hallelujah. Psalm 37. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Psalm 37. Psalm 37, starting in verse 1. So, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It will only cause harm. So, if we go back to the verse 1, we're going to kind of go through this process here because he's giving us steps and steps. He's given us a number of things, a number of action steps to take to receive justice in our lives. So let's go ahead and just run through here. Verse 1 says, do not fret. Amen? Do not fret. Quit worrying. Fret not. Quit worrying. So this is a key for us to experience and to enjoy justice in our lives, an action step. Don't fret. Don't worry. Don't worry. So the thing is you can't just not fret and you can't just stop worrying. You can make a choice, but then you have to replace the fretting and the worrying with something else. Amen? So that's verse 2. Verse 3. Verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Trust in the Lord and do good. So he said, listen, don't fret and don't worry. Quit worrying about today. Quit worrying about tomorrow. Quit worrying. Okay, so how do I quit worrying? Trust in the Lord. Trust. Just begin to replace the worry with trust. Because worry and trust are the same thing, just opposites. Worry is believing and expecting the worst. Trusting Him is expecting the best, expecting His word to come to pass. Amen? So he said, don't worry. Quit fretting and worrying. Quit fretting and worrying. Because there's always opportunities to fret and worry. Fear will always create a scenario to fret and worry about today and tomorrow, next week, next month. That's what fear does. But he said, listen, don't do that. But it's not enough just to don't do that. What are we going to do instead? We're going to trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And so that's what we were reminding the Lord of. Lord, I'm reminding you of your word. This is what I'm putting my trust in. I'm trusting you, and this is what you said. I'm trusting you, and this is what I said. Lord, I'm trusting you. You said by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. I don't feel healed. I may not even be acting healed. But I'm trusting you. I'm trusting your word. I thank you for working healing and health, restoration in my body. You know, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, or literally specifically, we can talk to a certain part of our body. If it's a knee, if it's a hip, if it's an elbow, if it's an eye, a toe, whatever it might be. We can talk. We can talk to that body part. I talk to you. I command you. Line up with the word of God in the name of Jesus. Why? Because I choose to believe the word. I choose to believe that you sent your word and you healed me. It didn't say you will send your word and you will heal me. No, you already have sent your word and you already have healed me. So I talk to my body. Line up with the word of God. Line up with the word of God. Line up with the word of God. Heart, lungs, whatever it might be. Amen. I talk to you. Line up with the word of God. Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for full freedom of motion. Oh, my finger was getting stuck. I would just praise him and thank him. Speaking his word. Full freedom of motion. I call it line up. Line up with the word of God. I talk to your tendons, joints, ligaments. I call you full freedom of motion. Hallelujah. And it begins to change justice, where God is able to set things right, put things right, and make things right. Does it always happen overnight? No. Usually not. It's a process, which means we don't give up, which means the opportunity to fret and worry is going to come because it doesn't happen right away. So we have to make a choice. I will fret not, but I will trust in the Lord. Amen? Because there's this gap between when we believe we receive and when it happens. And so this space, we have to make a choice. We must continue to follow Him. Follow Him. Because He's leading on the path. of righteousness. The way of righteousness and the path of justice. It's a way and it's a path because it's got distance to it. Right? You know, the front step outside, that's not a path. That's just a step. Why? Because it's short. When you call it a path because there's got some distance to it. It's a way or a road because it's got distance to it. Right? If it's just a step is short. Path and a way, a road, it's got some distance to it. So we need to follow Him. So don't fret. Don't fret. Trust in the Lord and do good. Do good. Just do good. This is a book. Remember when we talked about good. We spent a whole day talking about what's good. One service back a few months ago. Whole service about what's good. What's good. What does God say is good? Maybe that was even in the summer, maybe. Anyways, we're talking about what's good. So what? Do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Just trust in the Lord and do good. Lord, I'm trusting you. This is what you said. I'm just going to keep acting in line with the Word of God. Doing good. Doing good. Doing good. Get busy trusting the Lord and doing good. We'll have no time to fret and worry. It'll come and we'll go, oh, no. I'm trusting the Lord, doing good. Trusting the Lord, doing good. Trusting in the Lord and doing good. Keeps us busy. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will bring it. He will trust in the Lord with all trust, delight yourself. Verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So we talked about this. We had a series on this. Trust, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. So we delight in Him. We're stirring ourselves up. We're encouraging ourselves in Him. We are strengthening ourselves in Him. We're just excited about Him. We praise Him. We worship Him. We magnify Him. We're excited about Him. We're stirred up and turned on because of Him. Woo! Glory to God. Delight yourself in the Lord. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, He said He'll start to give us the desires of our heart. He'll start to drop and deposit His desires in us. In other words, we can expect our desires to start shifting and changing. If we're just starting to delight ourselves in the Lord, we're going to find our desires to shift and to change. If we've been doing this for a while, we're going to find that the desires He's been dropping in already are going to start to get bigger and bigger, stronger and stronger. But either way, He's going to start dropping. Our desires are going to change. Our desires are going to start lining up with Him. He's going to start to give us the desires of our heart. And then, verse 8 says, commit your way to Him, trust also in Him, and He will bring it to pass. So all of a sudden, He's going to start dropping desires in our heart, and justice, we're going to start experiencing those things, but it's a result of this. Now we commit our way to Him. He starts dropping these desires in our heart, and these desires, they begin to reveal a way or a path for us to follow. We might have been thinking about, I'm going to go this way, and as we delight ourselves in the Lord, all of a sudden this new desire starts dropping in, and this new desire starts to be stirring up on the inside of us, and this new desire he begins giving us, and it's going to start pointing us in a different direction. And we go, oh, isn't that interesting? I wanted to go this way, but this new desire, as I'm delighting myself in the Lord, it start pointing me this way. It start leading me and directing me this way. It begins to open up this new path, this new road, this new way. And so what we need to do is not go, huh, I wonder, oh, and get into worry and fret. We're not supposed to worry and fret. We're just to trust Him. And so how do we do that? What does trusting Him look like with this new desire? Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him. So now it's, Lord, okay, I commit this way to you. I commit this new path to you. I commit this new direction to you. And I'm trusting you. I'm looking to you. This is new. This is a new path. This is a new way. This is a new road. This is a new direction. And so now I'm choosing to trust you, and I commit this way to you. I cast the care on you. See, these are action steps of lifestyle so we can experience justice and vindication in our lives. It doesn't happen automatically. So, Lord, I trust you. I cast the care on you, and I trust you. And as we continue to pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in regards to this next step, and we get more light, more direction, instruction. He says he causes light to come to the upright. Amen? God causes light to rise in the darkness for the upright. So it's like, okay, this is... All of a sudden, like, we start getting some light, and then we can get more light. And sometimes he might be requiring us to take one step. We don't see the whole path, but all we have enough light for one step, so we take one step. One step might be just the fact, just to commit your way to him. Amen. Commit our way to him. Trust him, Lord. I'm trusting you. I commit the care to you. That's a step. That's a step in the right direction. Amen. I cast the care on you. I commit this whole thing to you. I don't understand the whole picture, but I commit it to you because, Lord, you know it all. You've already got these things already figured out for me. You've already thought the thoughts and planned the plans, Jeremiah 29:11 says, right? So he says, listen, he's already thought the thoughts and planned the plans for us, for our peace, for our welfare, for our prosperity, for our success, not of evil or of harm, but to give us an expected end and a hopeful future. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which he has before ordained that we should walk in these paths of good works, learning what? Living the good life, which he's already prearranged and made ready for us to live. So he's already, he's not just planning things on the fly. He's already thought the thoughts and planned the plans for us. Now, if we get off, he's able to get us back. He's able to get us back online, in line, on the right path. Amen? Hallelujah. He's able to get us there. But he's already thought the thoughts and plan the plans for us. So, Lord, we commit our way to you. We commit our way to you so he can continue to move us forward in the right direction towards justice, where he sets things right, puts things right, and makes things right in our lives. So, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. He'll bring it to pass. He'll cause it. He will bring it to pass. He will cause justice. He will cause things to be set right, put right, and made right. Amen? Isn't that good news? We just need to follow him, work with him. The battle is the Lord's. Right? But that doesn't mean we don't have to go out. There was only one time he said, listen, you're not going to have to fight today. Just stand still. Stand and watch and see the salvation of the Lord. But every other time, the people were instructed to do something, and it's in the doing that he brought the victory. And we talked about David, a couple weeks ago. David had to go out. He began to declare to the Goliath, I'm going to kill you. And then when Goliath started moving towards him, David ran towards the giant, pulled out his sling. See, he had to have the rocks. He had to have a sling. He had to throw the rock in order to hit the Goliath. And he had to practice. He practiced a lot as a shepherd. So he was very proficient with his sling. And because he'd put in that effort, put in the practice, God was able to use him. God won the victory. But he needed David. Because if God didn't need David, why did they go through that for 40 days? If God did not need David, if God did not need someone, why didn't he kill Goliath 40 days earlier, the first day Goliath stood up and defied the armies of the living God? He needed David. And I'll tell you what, he needs you and I. He needs us. For him to do justice and perform vindication in our lives, he's going to need us. If he didn't need us, I mean, you know, everything would be hunky-dory a long time ago. We'd have no problems. But he needs us. He needs us. There are action steps that we must take. We must follow him and work with him so he can, what? Come and rain righteousness on us. He needs us. He needs David. He needs us. He needs Joshua. He needs us. He needs Jesus. He needs us. He needed Saul. He needs us. Saul became Paul. I'm going to talk about New Testament. The Apostle Paul, he needed Paul. Right? He needs us. Hallelujah. He needs us. Verse 6. He shall bring forth your righteousness. He'll bring forth what's right. He'll bring forth your prosperity as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Hallelujah. So this is the similar verse than what we just read in Malachi 2:6. No. Isaiah 43:26. No, where is that? Oh, it was up here. Zephaniah 3:5. The morning by morning he makes his sun to rise and reveals his justice. And so this is the same idea right here. As sure he shall bring forth your righteousness, your prosperity, what's right as the light, and your justice as the noonday. So as sure as the morning light. Right, do we ever go out and I wonder if the sun's going to rise today? I wonder if the sun's going to rise. No, we know the sun's going to rise. Now, there might be clouds in the way, but the sun always rises. As sure as the sun rises, he says, I'm going to bring forth your righteousness and your prosperity. As sure as the justice is as sure as lunchtime. Lunchtime. Lunchtime's coming. Noontime, right? As sure as the sun rises and as sure as lunchtime comes around day after day after day after day. So, it shall be. Our vindication and prosperity and justice are as sure as the rising of the sun and lunchtime. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, don't worry, don't fret. Amen? Don't worry, don't fret. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in him. Commit your ways to him. Because as sure as the sun rising and lunchtime is our vindication, our prosperity, and our justice, where he sets things right, puts things right, makes things right. So, verse 7, rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Keep your finger here. I mean, Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 3 says this. For we who have believed do enter that rest. We who have believed enter the rest. So he's saying, listen, he's saying here, listen, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Resting is a product or a result of faith. We believe him, so now we rest. Why? There's no fretting, there's no worrying. Why? Because we believe God. It produces a rest. We can have rest on the inside, even though there might still be turmoil around us. We can have rest on the inside because we know the end result. Rest on the inside will produce rest on the outside. Rest on the inside will produce justice on the outside. Rest on the inside will produce change on the outside, but it doesn't happen overnight. So that's why sometimes it's called a sacrifice of praise, because we don't feel like it. But we do it because of what we believe and not because of how we feel. Rest. Rest in the Lord. He is big enough that we can just lean into Him. Amen? Rest. Just rest. Just lean back into Him. Rest in Him. Rest in Him. Lord, I'm just tired. He said, just rest in me. Rest in me. Lean on me. Lean on my word. Lord, had you say, lean on the covenant. Be demanding of the covenant, not of him, but of the covenant. See, we can lean and rest on the covenant, on God's word. We don't have to perform, we just need to believe. That was one of the things when the Lord told Jesse, I want you to have a jet. When he's driving his Toyota, then he didn't have enough money to fill the tank up. Or said, I'm going to give you a jet. And he began to worry and fret because he thought he had to buy it like the next day. Where am I going to get the money? I don't have the money. And the Lord said, I didn't ask you to pay for it. I asked you to believe for it. Amen. We can rest. We can rest because he's going to do it. Commit your way to him, trust also in him, because he will bring it to pass. Justice and vindication is his job. He said, listen, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's not yours, it's mine. I'm going to do the justice, I'm going to do the vindication. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But there's some things that we must do to work together with him. There's some things we must do to keep the door open so he can perform justice in our lives. Amen? And one of the things is, it's not to struggle, it's not to worry, it's to trust in him, it's to rest in him. Rest, rest. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for him. Right? Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. The promises would represent justice, where he sets things right, puts things right, makes things right. Why? Because it's His word is right. His way is right. His plan is right. His word is right. So the promises will be what's right. And sometimes it's the promises that the reason it's a promise is because we're not experiencing it. We believe that we receive the promise. I want the promise. We read the promise and go, hey, that's not going on in my life. Lord, this is what you said. So he said, listen, remind me. Remind me of what I said. Put me in remembrance of my word. Lord, this is your promise. This is what you said. This is what you said is mine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I am not going without it. You said it's mine. I take it. It's mine. Thank you, Lord, for it. Thank you, Lord, for it. I thank you for, how do I get there? How do I get it? How do I enjoy it? How do I experience it? Well, we're talking about some steps, some action steps in order to get us the great and precious promises of God in our life. Steps to experience justice, where he sets things right, puts things right, makes things right. He said, listen, rest in the Lord, and then wait patiently for him. Patiently, the word patience means consistent. Consistent. What does that mean? That means when we put him in remembrance, we do that consistently. We delight ourselves in the Lord consistently. Right? Not hit and miss. Well, I delighted myself this week, and then I worried for 2 weeks, and then I got, oh, yeah, right. And then I delighted myself for another day, and then worried. No, that's not consistent. So we must develop our patience. We must develop in consistency. Another word for patience is cheerful endurance. Cheerful endurance. not frustrated endurance. All right? Too many people are frustrated while they're enduring. That's not patience. That's not patience. Patience is cheerful endurance. Delight yourself in the Lord. Cheerful endurance. How? Just be consistently cheerful endurance. Delighting ourselves in the Lord. Hallelujah. Commit the way to Him. Trust Him. Just trust Him. Just be consistent trusting Him. Because the devil is going to consistently be attacking with fear. The devil is going to consistently be attacking and tempting us to fret and to worry. So every time the... So we don't even have to... we don't even necessarily have to make a whole lot of effort to consistently be patient. Just let the trigger of fret. Just let fret trigger. Fret comes consistently. I cast the care on the Lord. Lord, I remind you of your word. Just when the pressure comes, just consistently respond in word. Consistently respond in trusting the Lord. Consistently respond in delighting ourselves in the Lord. Consistent. Allow the when the fret and the worry comes, use it to consistently cause you to move forward. So we can consistently just choose. I'm just wake up. I'm not even fretting or worried, but I just choose to delight myself in the Lord. I just choose to delight myself in the Lord. And then fret comes. Delight myself in the Lord. Cast the care on the Lord. Commit my way to the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm trusting you. I'm resting in you. This is what you said, Lord. Just consistent. Allow the snowball to get bigger and bigger and bigger, rolling down the hill. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's not make it a big struggle, but just be consistent. 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 Amen? Hallelujah. So don't allow the attack to knock you out. Allow the attack just to trigger a consistent response in the Word of God. Amen? Take what the devil's bringing and use it against him. Every single time. Pretty soon he's going to think, boy, they keep responding that way every time. I think I'm going to back off a little bit. Because the devil will say, I seem to be helping them. Every time I want them to fret and worry, they delight in praise and they speak the word. I think I'm not going to kind of put so much pressure on them right now because it keeps backfiring on me. Do you see that? Hallelujah. Just use it against the devil every single time. Constant, consistent. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Verse 8. Verse 8 says this, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. So cease from anger. Cease from anger. Again, we can't just cease from anger. I'm just going to stop being angry. I'm just going to stop being angry. Stop. If all we think about is stop being angry, all we're thinking about is anger. So we just make a choice, I'm going to cease from anger. And so then what do? Everything else we've been talking about. Replace the anger with something else. Replace the anger with delight. Replace the anger with praise. Replace the anger with casting and committing the care on the Lord. Replace the anger with rest. Replace the anger with patience. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. So see, these things only cause harm. So that's why we need to invest and practice doing these other things. Trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, rest in the Lord, patience, consistency. So cease from anger. So what? Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of the flesh. Anger is one of the fruit of the flesh, right? It's one of the works of the flesh, the fruit of the flesh. So cease from anger. So how can we then cease from anger? We just practice and we become consistent in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, right? These things, self-control, How do we cease from anger? Walk in the Spirit. And fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. And see these things. So these are keys to experiencing justice in our lives, where God is able to set things right, put things right, and make things right for us. Amen. So we just spent some time here just talking about some keys that will keep the door open so God can come in and rain righteousness on us. He can set things right, put things right, and make things right. Hallelujah. So again, justice is not automatic. It's not automatic. Apparently we have a part to play. We have a part to play. Hallelujah. And so God says, listen, let me give you the easy part. Justice is mine, vengeance is mine, vindication is mine. Let me give you there's this part where we follow him, right? So I'm just kind of concluding. Follow me. Follow me, because I'm going to lead you in the paths, in the way of righteousness, and I'm going to lead you in the paths of justice, where we can enjoy vindication. We can enjoy where he sets things right, puts things right, makes things right. Next week is Easter. We're going to talk about resurrection. Resurrection in our lives, where he sets things right, puts things right, and makes things right. We're going to get all fired up some more. Amen? But some great things. Hallelujah. Glory to God.